Good morning.
Hey, first things first, I buy some treats from Michael Burke. Okay with that? These are really good. Really, really good. Take one of those and pass it around. These are cocoa crackers, okay? And these are absolutely my favorite dessert in Ecuador. There's a lot of great food in Ecuador, a lot of cool things down there. Lots of fun fruit. There's all sorts of cool stuff. Hold that in your head before. There you guys can share that back there. Here's a crazy thing in Ecuador, though. I got to talk to you about food for a second. You can snack on those and enjoy them. Anybody have a guinea pig as a pet? Yeah. Anybody have a guinea pig? You know what I'm talking about? Guinea pig? Okay, here's a crazy part, but they actually eat guinea pigs in Ecuador. It's kind of a crazy thing if you see that, especially if you get outside the city and people have them. And guinea pigs are like rabbits. They just kind of take off and they mate and they reproduce really quick and pretty good meat source. And I remember the first time I was visiting some Ecuadorian friends and they served me a guinea pig. And I mean, that thing came with the head, the legs, and everything. And just sort of like, you know, laying there looking at me with some potatoes and I'm eating away at it. Okay, I can do this. I can do this. I had a hamster as a kid, and it felt like I was eating my hamster, but it was wild. The guinea pig is cool. But a lot of great food, including some really, really fun dessert. Really fun dessert. Hey, baseball? Anybody a baseball fan out there? Like a little bit of baseball? Talked a little sports last night with the Warriors. Baseball is probably my favorite sport. Love it. Love to play. Love to watch. Love to coach. Every spring... most springs, my brother, he lives in Phoenix, and if you don't know about baseball, a lot of baseball teams go out to Phoenix before the season starts, Arizona, and they practice there getting ready for the season. And we go out, my dad and my brother and my sons, I have two boys, and we kind of hang out together during spring training and have a great time, go to some games and just laugh, get to know the team and enjoy and spend some time with my brother. And I was there not too long ago, and we had had a good couple of days together. And I was getting ready to get on an airplane the next day and head back to Ecuador. And I was leaving early in the morning. And we'd been to a game the night before, and I was leaving. My flight was about 6, and so we had to leave my brother's house about 4 o'clock, because he's about an hour from the airport. And so I had packed my bag the night before. And I was trying to be strategic and thinking about it. And so I packed my bag, and I had it all ready. I just laid out the clothes I was going to wear the next day. My plan in the morning was I'm going to get up, and put my clothes on, I'm going to grab my suitcase, and I'm ready to go. I don't have to do a whole lot, brush my teeth, and I'm ready to roll. That I knew it was going to be early. Well, I'm in the habit of zip tying my suitcase. I don't know if you guys do this when you travel, but when I travel, you know, I like to make sure that what's in my suitcase stays in my suitcase. And sometimes people take stuff out of your suitcase or put stuff in there that you don't want. And so I was zip tying my bag, and I had done that the night before. Take a little zip tie and zip tied the zippers closed and had that ready to go. And I get up the next morning. And my brother, sure enough, comes down the stairs, and it's about 3:45 in the morning, and I put my clothes on, and I grab my bag, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, no, I don't have my wallet. My wallet was in the pants that I wore last night at the game, and it's in my bag. And I'm like, oh, I got to have my wallet. There's no way I can check in. I got to have it when I travel today. So I'm looking down. I go to grab my bag, zip-tied clothes. I can't get in there. It's about, you know, almost getting to be 4 o'clock in the morning, and my brother's like, hey, we gotta go. And I'm like, I'm gonna get my wallet. And so I make a decision, I'm gonna get in my bag. And we're standing in his kitchen, and so I look up, and he's got one of these blocks of like steak knives stuck in there. You know what I'm talking about? You got those knives in your kitchen that are in there, and I gotta get through the zip tie. So I reach over and I grab a knife out of his block. And I reach down the zip tie and I'm holding it like this with the zipper, and I'm trying to cut through. You know where this is going, right, Isaac? And I'm trying to cut through the zip tie, and all of a sudden I cut through, and I go, ugh! And I stick a steak knife in my forearm. And I'm standing there, right? And my brother looks at me, and I look at him. He looks at me, he goes, dude, what's the plan now, bro? What are we going to do? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I pull this steak knife out of my forearm. That's what I do. Right? And now I look down, it's, you know, like that white part of the flesh where you can look in there, and it's just nasty. It doesn't hurt yet because it just happened, but it's... And I take the steak knife and I put it back in the block, right? My brother's like, no, what are you doing? Don't do that. That's, you know, it's bleeding. He pulls the knife out of there. And I'm like, well, dude, I need stitches. And I'm like, I'm not doing stitches. Let's go. I got to get on an airplane. We got to go. And so I go. And so we take off and we stop by Starbucks on the way. And now about halfway to the airport, you know, I was doing kind of that throb thing where, but I'm kind of holding my finger on it. It's bleeding a little bit. He's like, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. We get to the airport. But now I got to go through security at the airport and I'm bleeding, right? It's running down my arm. So I just sort of like pull my sleeve down and I kind of make it through the security, and I'm inside and I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, I don't know. know what to do. And I put a Band-Aid on it, but it just bleeds right through a Band-Aid. And finally, I got on the inside of the airport. Here's what I think to myself. Crazy glue. Crazy glue will work. That'll work. And it's perfect. I mean, we've all done that, right? You grab crazy glue, and you get it on your fingers, and it sticks. And you're like, oh, no, I can't get them stuck. I'm like, that's what I need now. So I go into a little store in the airport. I'm like, hey, man, crazy glue. I'm like, yeah, no, we're on the show. I'm like, great. So I go over and I grab some crazy glue and go back in the bathroom and pull my suit up. I'm like, throw a bunch of crazy glue in there, pinch it closed. And it worked. It was awesome. It was awesome. I have a nice scar on my forearm right now, but I made it home. Kind of in spite of myself. Now, the reason I tell you that story is, here's what happened to me. I was in my brother's kitchen, and I was thinking about so many things in the future. I wasn't thinking in the moment. I wasn't paying attention in that moment. I was thinking about my travel. I was thinking about the airplane. I was thinking about what I had to do next. I was thinking about all those things down the road. And I ended up sticking a knife in my forearm accidentally because I wasn't paying attention. Now, I got over it and I was good. Crazy glued it and got a scar. Semi-decent story. But you know what? What a crazy thing in our lives for those moments where we need to pay attention. Not thinking about what's next or thinking about what's down the road, but what if in that moment God wants to show up in your life and you're not paying attention, I'm not paying attention because we're thinking about something else. And I want to challenge you as we're together this weekend and even this morning as we dive back into God's Word, as we kind of take a look at this question of the Shema, what Jesus said is the most important thing. My question for you is, are you paying attention? Are you not just hearing, but are you listening? Are you in that moment right now saying, God, what do you have for me? And yeah, in a time like this at camp, but also when you show up in your youth ministry, when you show up in church, when you open up your Bible, it's so easy for us to be thinking about something down the road instead of being right there in that moment saying, God, what do you have for me? And I want to challenge you to not miss those moments from God because you're thinking about something else. For me, just a little damage to my arm. What about our hearts, our souls, our mind, our strength? What if God wants to and desires to, and he does speak to you, but because we're distracted or somewhere else, we miss it? That'd be a crazy, horrible thing. And so I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself. Be in that moment when God is speaking. And God wants to speak on a regular basis in our life, and so we got to practice that. We got to learn to hear his voice. We got to learn to listen. When we wake up, as we're moving throughout our days, we open up the Word, as we move into conversations. Remember, God speaks through creation. God speaks through his Word. God speaks by his Holy Spirit. God speaks as you're having conversation with each other. God speaks as you sit in your cabin and have conversation, discussion about this weekend. God speaks as we're worshiping. Are you listening? Or are we caught up in something else and missing out? Let me pray for us, and I want you to pray with me. We're just going to pray a simple little prayer. Actually, a prayer my wife taught me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your hands, and I just want you to put them out in front of you like this, and just open them up. Not because it makes us any more spiritual, but really, we're pretty good at grabbing onto things. And so what we want to do in our prayer is we just want to open our hands, and we're just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to teach it to you. It goes this way. Just a simple prayer that says, Lord, I am here. Lord, I am here, and I present myself to you. A simple prayer. Well, what we're saying is, Lord, I am here and I present myself to you. I want to open up my hands for two reasons. One, I don't want to hold on to anything tight in my life. But two, I want to receive from God. God, what do you have for me? What do you want to put in my hands? What do you want to put in my life? What do you have for me? All right? So let's pray that. And just you just close your eyes for a second. And I want you just to say those simple words to God between you and him. Lord, I present myself to you. Here I am. Lord, that is the prayer of our heart. We want to pay attention when you speak. Not just hearing, not just hearing words coming in, but listening to you with the intent that we would obey. Lord, we present ourselves to you. Here we are. This is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's a simple prayer. You can pray when you wake up in the morning. First thing for me, when I wake up, when I open my eyes in my bed, that's what I try to do. I just try to pray that simple prayer. Lord, I present myself to you. Here I am. Whatever happens in this day, whatever's in front of me, I present myself to you, and here I am. I want to be available. I want to listen. I want to hear your voice in my life today, and I'm convinced you do too. I'm convinced you do too. Right? So grab your Bibles, let's dive in. Let's look at the Shema again. This is, we talked about this last night. Remember, people came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, what's the most important thing? Boil it all down. And Jesus went back to Deuteronomy, and he grabbed something out of the book of Deuteronomy where Moses was telling the children of Israel as they were coming out of being slaves in Egypt that they needed to listen. They needed to listen. And then they needed to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, and love their neighbor as themselves. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you just for a second. I want you to give you a couple seconds. And I want you to just ask and answer this simple question. What's one thing that God challenged you to think about last night? Or God taught you, or you remember from last night? Hey, one thing. Turn to the person next to you and share that. Okay, you may have to go three there if you want only a couple of you. But what's one thing that you feel like God was challenging you to think about last night? Maybe something you learned. Here's the crazy part. What is something you just heard your friend say to you? Not what you shared, but what did they share? What's something you can share out loud with us? What's one thing that maybe the person you just talked to, what did they learn last night? Or what were they challenged to think about last night? Go ahead.
Me.
What's that?
Me.
Hey, what did she share with you?
Me.
You. Did she share about you? That she learned about you? Okay. All right. What else? Something you learned maybe that God taught you last night, challenged you with.
Listening to Him and not just hearing Him.
There's a difference, right? We hear all kinds of things in our life every day.
You can hear a bird chirping. Now there's a difference between hearing Him chirping, hearing the bird chirping, and listening to the chirping.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes they're just distractions and noises. Listening is something different. We have some comprehension. We talked last night about why we should listen to God. Anybody remember why we should listen to God? Above all the other voices that we can listen to, all the other influences, why God? Man, He's creator of everything, isn't He? He's all powerful. He's all present. He loves you. God is trustworthy. You and I can trust in His voice and know that He knows what He's saying. He has our best interest at heart, and He wants us to walk with Him. So last night we talked about that, listening to a trustworthy God, practicing that. Now Jesus steps into this next part of this passage where He says, you know what, here's important, that we need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We just watched that video where we talked about the heart and the soul. Anybody remember anything out of that video? What did it tell us about the heart? Okay. It is a physical thing inside our body that's beating right now, right? That's why you and I can be here, because our heart is beating. Blood is flowing, coming in, going out. But it's also more than just a physical thing, isn't it? It makes up who you are. We say things like, hey, give it all you've got in your heart, right? Put your heart into it. Hey, do that with all your heart. We're talking about your passion. We're talking about the very core of who you are. You know, even in that video, it talked about sometimes maybe you're in a relationship or you're dating someone or something happens, and we use the expression, oh, that broke my heart when that happened. She broke up with me. She broke my heart. Oh, when that happened, that broke my heart. When my team lost in game 7, that broke my heart. What are we saying? Man, it impacted the very core of who I am. It impacted me. Your heart is more than just that organ that's pumping. It's used for your will, where you make a decision. It's who you are. And then your soul is that eternal part of who you are. We're more than just this body, right? We're more than just the 60, 70, 80, 90 years that we get on this planet. Your soul is eternal. And your soul will spend eternity somewhere, either with God or away from God. That's a great question we have to ask ourselves, is where are we going to spend eternity?
We're more than just this life. And you may make it to 100, you may not make it through next week. A buddy of mine in San Diego this last week was downtown San Diego out with some friends. They were coming out of a restaurant, and he stepped off the curb. They had actually looked both ways, and a guy came out of a driveway and hit him and the girl right next to him, threw him up in the air, went off the windshield and tumbled. Broke both his pelvis, broke his shoulder. They had incredible surgery. He was just moments away from being dead. Talking to him this last week, he said, "Man, Phil, I thought my life was over. I thought I was done." All of us will spend eternity somewhere. And so learning this question of what does it mean to love God with all my heart and all my soul? This is the very core of who we are, our will, our passion, our soul, that eternal part of you. Jesus says, you know what, listen up. Listen up, I'm a trustworthy God. He has something important to say. And you need to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. You know, show me that next slide. In Genesis 1, we know this. You guys have been around your Bibles. You know that God created man and God created woman. And he created them heart and soul, mind, strength, body. But he created them to be in relationship with him. He created them in the garden. And they were without sin. In fact, the Bible says that God would come down in the cool of the day and spend time with Adam and Eve. Walk with them, talk with them. And God didn't create mankind because he was bored or because he was lonely. God created all things for his glory, including you and me. You are made in the image of God to bring him glory and to be in relationship and fellowship with him. And when God created Adam and Eve, their heart and their soul, they were in tune with God. And God would come down and he would commune with them. He would talk with them. He would walk with them. He had friendship with them. But you and I know from Scripture, the sin entered that picture. Satan came in the form of a servant and came down and tempted them. And you know what he tempted them? He challenged them. Of, you know what? God doesn't really love you. It's those very things we were talking about. God is all powerful. God is all present. And God loves you. Satan went right after those three things and lied to them. And said, you know what? God's not all powerful. You could actually be as powerful as God. God's not really present here, and God doesn't really love you. You need to think about you and take care of you. And God had said to them, hey, I put you here in the garden, and you can have everything, but there's one tree that you cannot eat. And they went and they ate from that tree. They disobeyed God, and sin entered the world. And for the first time, heart and soul, well, they were meant to belong to God, be in relationship with God completely. Sin entered the world. The relationship was broken between man and God. Now the Bible says this in this slide, Romans 3:23. Maybe you know this verse, maybe you've heard this, but Romans 3:23, all of sin, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. None of us can say that we've never done anything wrong. We have sin in our life. We've missed the mark. And sin is any thought, action, or deed that's contrary to what God wants us to do. God has laid out his perfect law for us to walk with him, and we've chosen to be on our own. Romans 6:23 says this. You know what? The wages of sin, what we deserve, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you ever use this expression? Boy, I want it to be fair. I think things should be fair. Why can't they just be fair? You know, according to God's word, what would be fair? Because we've chosen to sin. We've chosen to separate ourselves from God. All have sinned. What would be fair would be for God to send us away from himself for eternity. That would be fair. That would be what we deserve. But God, because his incredible love for you, his incredible love for me, his incredible love for mankind, God did not give up. Show me that next slide, Faith. He didn't give up. He passionately pursued his creation, and he's still passionately pursuing you. God desired a relationship with you. And so he sent prophets and priests and kings to bring that message to mankind that, hey, you know what? God loves you. God desires to be in a relationship with you, but you have a sin problem. You have sin in your life, and that has to be taken care of. And so we see in the Old Testament a sacrifice system where animals could be sacrificed. And the shed blood of animals, God would accept that as payment. Eventually, God sent his only son, Jesus. Jesus, up in heaven, the Bible says he volunteered to say, you know what, I'm going to go down. And I will come down on earth and I will live as a man. And Jesus did. He came down, he lived. 30 plus years, the only perfect man, 100% God and 100% man. And eventually Jesus, after spending several years in public ministry, he went to the cross. Nobody put him on the cross. He voluntarily went to the cross. And he hung on that cross. He was willing to go. And the Romans, they understood torture. They understood crucifixion. They had perfected it. They didn't invent it, but they had perfected it. And so they took Jesus and they put him in a trial and they accused him falsely. Brought in witnesses that lied about him. Said he was trying to take over the government. He was trying to rise up and unseat the local government. Not true. Jesus said, actually, my kingdom. And he talked about his kingdom. It's not about taking over the government, but he went through a trial. And they whipped him and they beat him. The Bible says he was beyond recognition. It would take a cat of nine tails. It was long strands of leather that had glass and rocks and bones in there. Put him to a tied into a pillar, and he would take that whip and they would whip his body, ripping off hunks of flesh, mutilating his physical body. He did that because he loves you. He did that because he loves me. He went to the cross and they put nails through his feet and through his hands. He suffered, put a crown of thorns on his head. But in the middle of that, Jesus took all of our sin. God took all the sin of the world, all of your sin and all of my sin, our past, our present, our future sin, put it on Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm willing to be the perfect sacrifice that mankind needs. Perfect sacrifice. Because God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus said, you know what? I'll take what mankind deserves. They deserve to be banished forever because of their sin, but I will take on that sin upon my body. Show me that next slide there. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, you know what? God made him, Jesus, who had no sin. He was sinless, the only perfect one to live. God made him sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God, so that we could have our sins forgiven. Here's an incredible thought. Come to that next slide. All the sins of the world will be paid for. They will. All the sins of the world will be paid for. They'll either be paid for by Jesus or they'll be paid for by you. We will be held accountable for our sin. But Jesus said, you know what? I hung on that cross and I took all of your sin and I paid for it. At the very end of Jesus' life, he yelled out this phrase, it is finished. It is finished. That phrase was a banking term. It literally meant a debt to be canceled, paid in full. It's as if you had a debt of millions of dollars you could never pay. And somebody came along and said, I'll pay for that debt. I'll write that check. I will pay for it. That's what Jesus said about your sin and about my sin. Paid in full. Paid in full. The story doesn't end there. Jesus went to the cross and he died. He took on our sin. And they took him down off of the cross and they put him into a tomb. And just like he said, 3 days later, Jesus resurrected, came back from the grave. The only one to ever conquer death. And he came out of that grave showing that God has the power to make dead things alive. And that's the good news of the gospel for us. The good news of the gospel is that God has the power to make dead things alive. When we are dead and powerless in our sins, nothing we could do about our eternity, Jesus said, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of that. And God has the power to make your dead life and my dead life alive because of what Jesus did on the cross. But we have a response to that. You see, Jesus said that we need to learn to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul. It's a choice on our part. So check out this next verse. Look at this slide. This is our response right here in Romans 10. It says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. You see, you and I have the opportunity. God said, I desire a relationship with you. I want you to walk with me the way that you were created to bring God glory and honor. But we need to confess with our mouth. We need to believe in our heart. And we're back to that heart, that will, that center of who we are. Has that been surrendered to God? You see, we talked last night about the difference between hearing and listening. And if you grew up in church like I did, we've maybe heard this message many, many, many times. You've heard it. You've read it. But my question for you today is, are you listening to it? Are you listening with the intent to obey? And to say, God, that's what I want. That's what I desire. To love you with all of my heart and all of my soul. Show me that next slide, babe. You see, this is God's heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance and knowledge of him. Now, we need to talk about a couple of what those words mean. And then I want to show you a really scary passage of Scripture. A passage that I think, especially for those of us that have grown up in the church, really should cause us to think twice. But here's what repentance is. Because a lot of times what we think about when we hear this message is that, wow, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want those horrible things to happen to me. And so maybe you've heard a message, you've heard somebody stand up and say, you know what, without Jesus, you are going to hell. And that is true. That is what the Bible says. It's not God's heart. God's heart is that all of us will live with him for eternity. But the reality is that you have a choice and I have a choice. Whether we want to accept that, whether we want to take God at his word and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. But here's what repentance is. Repentance is that I am going my own direction. I'm heading my way and I turn 180 degrees, and I realize that the way that I was going is not the right way. And I need to turn from the way that I was going, and I need to build God's direction and God's way. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not just praying a prayer and adding Jesus to my life and continuing to go on the direction that I want to go. And the scary thing is that's what a lot of us do as we're growing up in the church. We hear it. We maybe even agree with it. We never change our direction. We're still in charge. I'm still running my own life, but I prayed this prayer, and I hopefully wanted to add Jesus to my life. But that's not what repentance is. I want you to grab your Bibles, and I want you to open it to Matthew chapter 7. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, and I want to show you two quick passages of Scripture here that are really challenging. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 21. And I want you to catch this. Matthew 7, 21. This is Jesus speaking. He says, you know what? At the end of all time, when people are standing before God, that's what he says here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And check out these words, and these are scary words. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's a scary passage of Scripture. That's a group of people standing before God who thought that they belonged to him. They thought that they were Christians. They thought that they were on their way to spend eternity with God. And they come to the end of their life and they find out that they're not. And all of a sudden they break out this list and they say, whoa, God, you cannot be talking to me. Man, we preach sermons in your name. We went on mission trips in your name. We went to camp in your name. We did to church in your name. We even taught children's church in your name. I worked in the nursery for you. And Jesus looks at them and says, you know what? Away from me. That wasn't about me. That was about you. That was about you trying to be good. That was about you trying to add a prayer to your life and continue to be in charge. Away from me, I never knew you, you evildoers. And you got to ask a question out of that passage. What in the world is evil about what they were doing? And Jesus says what was evil about what they were doing is that they never surrendered. They never turned their life over to him. They simply added Jesus to their life. They kept on going their own direction and they never repented. They never turned around. They never bowed their knee and said, you know what? This life is not about me. It's about you. And I surrender to you, Jesus, my King. Turn over to one more passage. I want you to look at Mark chapter 4. Let me show you how Jesus explains this. How Jesus explains this. Because I want you to hear loud and clear that this is not just a guessing game. No, the Bible tells us clearly we can know that we belong to Jesus. John later would write in 1 John, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. So it's not a guessing game, but it's incredibly dangerous for those of us that have grown up in church. We hear all the things about God, but we never surrender our lives. We never repent. We never take our lives and put them into the hands of God and say, you know what, God, you're in charge and you're the King, no matter what happens. So look at this story that Jesus tells in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is talking about here, farming. Mark chapter 4 says, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large, he got into a boat, and he sat by the lake, and he told this story. He taught him many things, and he said, hey, listen up, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Another seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants, and they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. The crop came up, it grew, and it produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, some 100 times. And then he just said, hey, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Listen up. He tells them a story. He says, hey, you know what? A farmer went out. And a farmer had a field, and he was sowing seed. And maybe you think about farming and nice, neat little rows, but in biblical times, farmer would take the seed and scatter it all over the place. And he was hoping that all kinds of things would grow and seed him different kinds of soil. And he threw it along the path, and the birds came and ate up the soil and had no chance. And some seed came along and started out okay, but it was in rocky places that didn't last. Another seed hit the soil and it grew up, and it looked good for a little while, but then the sun came out and scorched it. It withered. And then that fourth bit of seed, it hit good soil. And it produced a crop. And it reproduced 30, 60, 100 times. His disciples look at it and look what they said. Keep reading there in Mark chapter 4. But when he was alone, the 12 disciples, they got around him and they said, hey, Jesus, we don't understand this story. We don't get it. And he told them, hey, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Those on the outside, everything is said in parables or stories. But Jesus says, let me explain it to you. And look at verse 13. Jesus said, hey, let me help you understand this parable. And this parable, guys, look at me for a second. This is really important for us. When we talk about what does it mean to love God with all my heart and all my soul, what does it mean for us to surrender? Jesus is about to explain that to us. He says, hey, let me help you explain it. The farmer sows the word. That's what he's talking about. The word of God goes out. The truth of the gospel. The good news that you are created by a God who loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you. But because of sin in our lives, things that we've done wrong, we're separated from God. And eventually Jesus came upon the cross and he paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. And then he died and he was resurrected, showing that God has the power to make dead things alive, to renew things. That's the good news. That's the gospel. We look into our world today and we see the world is broken. And there's so many solutions that people want to offer. And God says there's only one solution. That's to listen to the Creator. To love God with all your heart and soul. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the word that's going out. But we know that when the word goes out, there's going to be different responses. Look what Jesus says. Hey, the farmer sows the word. And some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word, and once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Look at verse 18. So others like a seed sown among the thorns, they hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Here's what Jesus says. And here's the challenge that I have for you this morning to think about. Are you hearing the gospel? Or are you listening to the gospel? Are you trying to add Jesus to your life and continue to go your own way? You're in charge, your heart, the things most important to you, your will. You get to decide where those are all at. You're betting your soul, your eternity on you instead of on God. And so the word goes out. It goes out in your church. It goes out in your families. It goes out through conversations you have. People have told you about Jesus and the good news of the gospel. And for some people, just like the first soil, they're not interested. It shows up in their life and they're like, no, it's not for me. I don't want that. No, thank you. Birds steal it away and it's gone. Those people clearly don't belong to God. But then that second group comes in. The seed lands on rocky soil. And it's received with joy, this passage says. People go, yeah, yeah, that's a good thing. I agree with that. I hear those words. I think that God is great, and I certainly don't want to go to hell. But because it's on rocky soil, there's no root, and it doesn't last. There's no repentance here. People have heard Jesus. They think Jesus is a good person, and they certainly like Jesus. But they continue to go their own way and they're still in charge. That next set of soil that comes along, the seed lands there. The same thing, it's received with joy, it's a good thing. And there's even a little bit of growth happens. But pretty soon things from the world come in. Scripture says the deceitfulness of wealth. That I can really find my meaning and my purpose through having a lot of money. Or sometimes it's temptation or difficulty. It's people coming along and giving you a hard time. And again, you continue to go your own way and you're in charge. And it's only the fourth soil. It says, you know what? Look at those words. The fourth soil, sown on good soil, hear the word, and then catch out this his next phrase, and they accept it. They accept it. You see what acceptance means? Is that you and I realize that we are dead in our sins, powerless. That the only hope we have is confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart and surrendering our lives. You see, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. In every kingdom, there is a king. Either Jesus is the king or you are the king. And you and I were never made, were never created to be kings of our own lives. See, when a king comes in, you surrender to that king and you say, you know what, king, I know you're in charge. And I know that everything that you have, I will be obedient to. Whether things go great in my life or whether things don't go great in my life. Jesus said, this world is not all there is. You will have difficulty. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So remember what repentance is. It's God's heart that we would all come to repentance, that we're headed our own direction, our own way, and we reach that point where we turn around and we realize that I was headed the wrong way. I was dependent upon me. And I want to take my heart, my will, my decisions, my soul, the eternal part of me, and I want to give it completely to God. Completely. Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross, you did for me. And I believe that the power of the resurrection, God making dead things alive, God, that's what I want you to do in my life. That's what God desires. With that last slide, Faith. One before that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's what it is. It's to surrender your life. It's to realize you're not in charge anymore. That there is a king, and that king is Jesus. And he's completely in charge. And that's what Scripture says, that fourth soil begins to produce a crop. Not because the crop comes from me or you. The crop comes from God, who's now in charge of your life. And who's now the king? So that's the good news of the gospel. That's what it is to love God with all your soul and all your heart, is to realize he's the king, and I bow my knee to the king and I surrender. I repent and see it's not my way, it's his way. It's not just praying a prayer and continuing on with my life. I'm saying, you know what? My life belongs to you, God, no matter what. My current day, my future, my relationships, my career, everything I have belongs to you. I'm not the king anymore. You are. Let's pray again. And as we just take a minute, I'd love for you just to close your eyes and bow your head for a second and just think through that very thing. Who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of your life? We're talking here, and Jesus said the most important thing is we would listen. But more than just listen, we listen with the intent to obey. And then Jesus says, hey, we need to love God with everything we have. Our heart, our will, our soul, the eternal part of us. So the question is, have you surrendered your life? Is Jesus the king of your life? Not just have you heard the gospel, but have you surrendered everything you have and repented, confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart? But the only hope I have is Jesus. I want him to take away my sin. I want him to be king of my life. If you have never done that in your life, I want to challenge you to do that today. I want to challenge you to do that right now. Maybe you've been in church all your life. You've heard this story. You've heard about Jesus, but you know that you've never surrendered your heart to him. You're still in charge of your life. You're still the king. Oh, you like Jesus, but you've never surrendered everything you have to him. And today would be that simple prayer, that day where you would say, Jesus, I want you to be king. I do confess with my mouth that I'm a sinner, that I've done things wrong, and I believe that what you did on the cross, you did for me. Your shed blood allows me to have a righteous standing with God. Power of the resurrection. God, I know that you have the power to make dead things alive, and I want my life to be alive, not dead. Today, I bow my knee, and I want you to be king. If that's what you would desire, and they've never done that before, then I would challenge you today that you would pray that simple prayer to God. God, I want you to be my king. I want you to be my king. And if that's you and you go, hey, I did that today. That's my prayer. That's what I want. Now, I want you to do something. I just want you to look up at me and make good solid eye contact with me. And say, hey, that's what I did today. That's what I want. I've never done that before. But I want Jesus to be my king. Lord, thank you so much for speaking clearly through your word. Lord, thank you that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Lord, we have done things wrong. We know that. You died on a cross for us. Lord, thank you for giving up your life so that we don't have to pay the penalty for our own sin. Thank you for the power of the resurrection, showing that you have power to make dead things alive. Lord, we want to listen. We want to be obedient. We want you to be king of our life, and today we choose to surrender. You're in charge, 100%. We want to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish with a song together. And then I'm going to encourage you that I want you to go back to your cabins for a little conversation just with your counselor. And I want you to share with them in your cabin, what decision did you make today? What did God say to you today? And share with them and share with each other. Remember, God speaks through his word. God speaks through each other. And if you made that decision today, you know what? I asked Jesus to be my king. And I want you to share that. Maybe in the past you go, hey, I have made that decision in the past, and here's when I made that decision. Share that as well. We're going to sing together, and then we're going to dismiss you from here. You're going to go back to your cabin and have a conversation with the counselor and be able to share that. And then at about 10:30, 10:35, bell will ring, you come back in here for Rec Chapel, and you get a chance to take the next step. Okay? Make sense? All right.